Hello and welcome to episode 4 of season 2 of Piano Lessons. Mr. Mark Piano, good to see you as always.
Mr. Phil Graham, busy start of the year and crypto is flying right now, so it's good to be with you.
Absolutely. And joined again by another member of the H3 enterprise, Daniel de Pavia Gomez of ADV Advogados. Great to see you.
It's a pleasure to be here with you guys. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Now, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I am somewhat intimidated. So I started going through your background and it's pretty frightening. So it's sort of, as you described, you're almost a sort of superhero. By day, you run one of the most impressive tax practices in all of Brazil. And then by night, you're an absolute blockchain cryptocurrency genius. So I've sort of gone through everything you've done. We have masters, we have PhDs. We have 2 books, I think, now. Originally a book on the taxation of cryptocurrencies in Brazil, published by Thomson Reuters. Now a second book that came out sort of late last year, which gets into not only the legal part, but the philosophy and the technology and the economics in this space. You've gone down this rabbit hole in the biggest way, and it's incredible. And so my first question really for you is, why? I mean, you look at your history, and I love the history of the fact that it started, I think, with one of your gaming clients sort of getting rewards and saying, yeah. What do we do with this? Can we take this and how do we tax it? And instead of like the rest of us, a normal service provider doing a quick bit of Googling and saying, oh, here's an answer and moving on, you decided to become a foremost expert. Why did you do it?
Well, I really love technology. I am a gamer myself. I collect old consoles with my brother Eduardo. Here in Brazil, when we are like in blockchain events or giving some lectures, participating in something, we are also known as the Paiva Brothers. But curiously enough, none of us went to like science computation or IT, something like that. We went to the traditional path, I would say. And then I found myself, I think it was in 2012, I was a little bit frustrated with the traditional way of doing practicing law. And then I got these clients and it was amazing and super exciting because I'm a gamer myself and I was advising pro players and they received Bitcoin as a award for their participation in a championship. And the basic question around was made by them, like, can I receive Bitcoin? Is this legal? How do I tax it? And at the time, I think it was 2015, it was zero guidance at all. And also the scholars, they were biased by this technology. Everyone was thinking about, oh, Bitcoin is for money laundering, Bitcoin is a Ponzi scheme, things like that. And me and Eduardo, we thought, no, I think there is more into that. And we start by ourselves to study and to try to understand the technology itself. And we have a academic background. We were like finishing our Lato Sensu post-graduation and we decided to go to the master's. And we had this brilliant idea, but at the time it was a little bit frustrating as well because we decided, okay, let's take a master's about regulation and taxation of crypto. But no professor wanted to be our, like, to guide us, you know, because in the master's we need a professor, etc. And they were like, Daniel, change the subject, write about something else. And I was like, no, I really want to do that. And it took me 2 years to convince the guys at the Getúlio Vargas Foundation in São Paulo. They welcomed, they have received my research. And then it was, as you said, really a rabbit hole because once I started digging deep, I was actually more into it. And then me and Eduardo, we said, okay, we need to take something on the technology side itself. And then we wanted to go to take the master's in Nicosia about blockchain and digital currencies. And here we are. Basically, I think I am really nerd.
It's actually the best way to be. This is a space, especially on the Brazilian tax side. I mean, the tax rules there have changed so significantly recently. If you're not into this, you're not going to be able to do the work. You're not going to be able to advise the clients. You're not going to understand where they're coming from. But it's got to start with that personal interest. And I think all of us here, I myself in particular, I'm a tech geek who somehow became a lawyer. And the lawyer thing kind of pays for the tech geek habit, I suppose. In your case, Daniil, you could have took it to the nth degree, but it started from a passion for technology and for gaming, and that probably came across to that initial client. And the more you get into this, the more you see just how deep this rabbit hole goes. You love going down it, and the clients appreciate it. And especially in this marketplace, in the tax and regulatory environment, you've got to go down these rabbit holes, but doing so in a way that's affirming, aligning, and is something that you really enjoy makes it doable and makes you a good lawyer and makes the advice really valuable. So yeah, maybe a nerd, but the best kind of nerd.
And when you sort of get into, you know, some of your presentations and some of your sort of thesis on a variety of things, you proclaim Brazil's sort of current position in relation to both the tax and just generally the adoption of cryptocurrency as one of the market leaders in the world in terms of how it's being taken on. What is it that you think has meant that Brazil has truly tried to get this right, has truly tried to adopt it in the right way, truly wants to encourage this technology? What is it about the environment in the country that's done that?
I think there are two sides on this movement in Brazil. In terms of culture, this is a personal standpoint. I see the Brazilian people as very, they are keen to take risks regarding their money. It's very odd, actually, because you have like the traditional ones, like my parents and my grandparents, they are like, no, let's go on traditional savings account. But there are this other side of the population, especially the ones that are financially marginalized, that they like to gamble and things like that, you know, and here gambling is not allowed in Brazil. So this made people, I would say, more open to this disruption on crypto assets. This is, I would say, like on the common people approach. But from a regulatory standpoint, I would say that it all began with PIX, our instant payment solution from the Brazilian Central Bank.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, people were like scared because they thought that how can I make a payment that is irreversible, that is instant? But now, like more than 80% of people use PIX. It's like our main payment scheme here. And I think when you got this perspective, I like to say that the Brazilian Central Bank has a startup approach because they are so prone to innovation. And then we have Drax, which is this Brazilian CBDC project, is like programmable money. When we take this and we look to the crypto asset environment, it's very interesting to see that the Brazilian Central Bank now is the authority that is going to regulate virtual assets service providers, but also the Brazilian Securities Exchange Commission. They are not on the enforcement, regulation by enforcement perspective, like US, for example. No, they are much more into public consultations, a regulation that would be open to new entrants and new startups. Of course, we have had in the past enforcement, especially from the Brazilian SAC. But these were in specific cases that we are actually towards Ponzi schemes, not on the like traditional crypto assets perspective. We have no discussions whatsoever. For example, is Ethereum a security or not? Here in Brazil, we're not discussing this. They are much more, even though we apply the Howey test in Brazil, we have a much more closed approach to it. So I think this helped a lot to make the onboarding of these users, and the fact that we have exemption from the tax perspective for at each month, if the user like make a sale in the gross, like the gross revenue that is transacted by crypto, is not over 35,000 reais, would be, I think, like $6,500 or $7,000, it's completely exempt. So it's quite a good exemption, especially for the common people, you know, and this makes very attractive, despite the fact that the Brazilian tax system is one of the most complex in the world. From this perspective, we are very good, actually.
How's that led to, let's talk about VDV Avogados, your practice with your brother. Given the position in Brazil, given the kind of the popular drive behind it, and given the innovation of the Brazilian Central Bank with the payment system and with Drax, how's that led to your practice being where it is now? I mean, we've worked together on a couple of projects. Brazil seems to be a very exciting place to be right now. I've heard as well of the potential tokenization of real estate, which is another really cool thing. When did you start your practice and how's it grown and where is it now? And what do you think the main trends are going forward in Brazil?
Well, I would say my traditional areas of law are more into financial markets / banking and also tax. But since I started to publish and to write about crypto, because I had that first case back at the time, and then I started the master's on regulation taxation at the Getúlio Vargas Foundation, I started to write about it. It was around the boom of the ICOs, 2017, 2018. And then the Brazilian founders, because no one was willing to conduct ICOs here, but they had Brazilian founders, some projects. They started to find us by our books or by our posts, by our publications. They start to ask for advice. And then something that was more in, like, a hobby inside of law, because it was very, very scarce, the search for advice on that. So I kept my traditional tax practice, financial markets practice. But then I would say in 2020, things got hotter here in Brazil. The virtual asset service providers, they understood that regulation was not going back. Actually, it's going moving forward. And then I would say that currently 80% of my time is on Web3 or high-end technologies. Then the traditional, it's law itself. And one thing that led me and Eduardo to open a formally open a desk inside our office was that we noticed that these companies, these startups, these founders, they don't care about areas of law. They don't care if, I need a tax advice or I need a corporate advice. No, they think about markets and they think about problems and solutions. So we understood that it was not very clever to keep this traditional approach and to say, I will do tax. And if we go off a little bit off of that, no, I'm not advising. So we decided it was a little burdensome. We decided not only to get ourselves deep on the technology itself, but also to get deep on the other areas that like Web3 startups need, especially intellectual property, contracts and corporate. Of course, I have my partners that I'd say they're more on the traditional side of law. So they are very traditional corporate law, civil law and things like that. But me and Eduardo, we try to be this middleman connecting this traditional intel with new solutions and new projects. It's a new way of doing law. And I think the law, it's always a science that is left behind when we have this kind of innovations, right? And I think it's no moving back, you know, because people don't think like that anymore. And the Z generation is here to show us that. So that is the reason why me and Eduardo are trying to position ourselves inside VDV and VDV towards the market, like this kind of legal solution. We try to solve problems instead of a brief example. Usually traditional legal practice is like you have a question and you give the answer. And if the answer is a negative answer, for example, you cannot do that. Okay, the advice is done. We try to move beyond that. Like, okay, you cannot do that, but let's think together. How can we try to do other ways? It's not like being illegal or bypassing law. No, let's think together another way of doing that inside a very comfortable legal perspective.
You know, we just wanted to say how honored we are to have you as part of the H3 network. It's always a pleasure to work with you. And for anyone out there that's looking at this, has some interest in the local Brazilian market, but frankly, even wider than that, given the nexus of your expertise, please do reach out to Daniel. He truly is a fantastic resource. So thank you ever so much for joining us, sir. Really appreciate it.
It was a great pleasure, guys. I admire a lot both of you, the work that you guys have been doing. And I think this Web3 spirit is completely different. I'd say we have traditional law firms doing crypto as well, but the feeling is not the same. So that is why I love working with you. And I am so honored to be part of so many projects together. Thank you so much.